Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, today we've got a phenomenal show. It's just the two of us.
That's right.
And we were asked to give a talk, it was about a month ago or so.
Right at the start of the year.
Yeah, about kind of where we saw the opportunities in the submarkets for investors in the Vancouver area. And so we really focused just specifically on the city of Vancouver.
And what basically happened was we gave the talk.
Yes.
Rapturous applause, and we decided to do a podcast.
I don't remember the applause, but we did decide we'd repurpose the information. There's no question about that. But I should say we're coming off of a very nice evening.
A nice evening. This is I feel like you've made it when you get to this event.
What's that? The Rennie. It was the art show.
The Rennie art show.
But yeah. What is it? There's a name when it's not Rennie Marketing. It's like the Rennie Art.
It's we'll one of the many arms of Rennie, but yeah, you get in with Rennie Intelligence, Andy Ramlow, and
Ryan Berlin. Next thing you know, you're looking at expensive art.
You're drinking
champagne.
You're drinking bubbly, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good night.
Or bubbles. Actually, the guy literally called it bubbles.
Yeah, bubbly is what you is your soda water that you're used to. Yeah. Is that the buble, the bubbly?
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a great event. Lots of fun. And I hope they invite us back.
Yeah, no, that was it was for sure. But you also watched Parasite last night.
I did.
I can't
yeah.
believe you did both those things.
Sleeper indie film.
Sleeper because of the bubbles. I thought you were going to say.
No, you know what? We're not completely through it, so no spoiler.
I saw
alert.
It in the theater. It was.
You went to that in the theater?
I did. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I feel like that would be one of those movies in the theater where a lot of people would be. Like
clapping
laughing
at the
and
end.
Clapping at the end. A lot of annoying things
yeah,
happening in
it
that
was.
Theater.
It was West 5th, yeah.
Yeah? Really? Well, you can actually have some bubblies at West
Yeah,
5th.
I did. Well, that was the issue. Yeah,
you have a few.
It's hard. Well, you're reading the subtitles. It's it was a challenge.
Really?
But it was good.
Yeah.
In the end, it was good.
Well, it's so far, I'm about three quarters through.
But it's a movie that you think about, I feel like for about a week after I was thinking about that movie.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It's great.
It's won a couple of awards, I heard.
Right. And I watched that. I feel like I'm watching a lot of subtitled. Have you seen The Farewell yet?
No.
Never even heard of it. Really good. Really great, great movie.
You know what I just watched?
What?
Not that we might be getting off track here.
Yeah.
But
Secret is pointing at his clock.
The Truman Show.
Oh. Okay.
What year is The Truman Show from?
Late
90s? Late
90s,
maybe
97, 98.
I'm
That's
telling
a Jim
you.
Jim Carrey, right?
That's a Jim Carrey vehicle is what they call it. It's really when you,
you
think.
You know because his head's out the window. That's a joke that no millennials would get. Like an Ace Ventura joke? No, that's okay. Go on. Sorry.
Anyway, it's really insightful for when it came out.
Right.
I would go back and watch it. It's definitely worth revisiting.
The Truman Show. Is that your tip?
This is the tip for the week. No, honestly, think about it. He's in a world in which there's cameras on him at all times.
Yes.
This was before I was
the
putting
cameras
everything
are...
I do on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Cameras on him at all times. A lot of the product placement is totally reality TV based, but this
sure.
is pre-reality TV. This is it really has a lot to say to the 2020 viewer.
It's, yeah. And while you're at it, watch Minority Report. Because that will put you into a tizzy. You'll be
and
really
that
upset.
That concludes.
Yeah. But we have a great show today. We're talking about kind of three hubs that we see opportunities for in the city of Vancouver. We're not going out to Metro Vancouver. We talk a lot about the SkyTrains and different areas blowing
and
up.
And I kind of feel like if you look at the logic of the three areas we're talking about in Vancouver, you could apply it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully people will find it useful for sure.
It's a fun conversation, so we hope you enjoy. And we should say these are not the only opportunities in Vancouver. These are just ones we wanted to highlight. They seem kind of clear cut for us for sure. We also have the Oakland tip before we get to that.
That's right. So this is Oakland. We've been there pushing 6 months.
Right.
And
seasoned vets
of this growing brokerage. But what a dynamic place. The tip this week is pertinent to our show 2 weeks ago, and it seems like it's on everyone's mind right now.
Strata insurance. Yes.
The Oakland tip this week is ensure you do your due diligence with insurance before you remove subjects.
Yeah, Matt. And you know, it's interesting because we have been talking a lot about strata deductibles. So like water deductibles going up substantially.
I feel like 100K is the new 25K when it comes to water.
It's unbelievable. I've just the last two buildings I've sold, they both had $250,000 water deductibles, and they're great buildings in downtown Vancouver. So yeah, I think you're right. Like we're seeing a lot of deductibles go up substantially, as are premiums. So you can expect either levies potentially related to strata premium increases or potentially maintenance fees going up. The big thing now is actually adding a condition to do your due diligence about, you know, reviewing the strata insurance and making sure that you can actually get coverage on the building.
That's right. And you know what? And it's funny because before, you know, you take a cursory glance at the water deductible and,
right.
and we always, you know, everybody seems to know a few buildings that are doozies when
that
it comes to...
That used to be standouts.
Yeah, standouts, right? But yeah, now this is a fundamental thing to consider prior to removing subjects.
Right. And you know what? It's always best to talk to a broker. I'm just going to highlight two. And I mean, this is based on a couple weeks ago when I did some research. Sonnet is an online provider that is still insuring personal insurance up to a $500,000 deductible. And also Square One is an online provider that's doing up to $250,000. But most will do a max of about $100,000. So if you have a water deductible and it's over $100,000 in a building and your insurance only covers you up to $100,000, you might be in a situation where you're self-insuring. So make sure you do your homework.
Nobody wants to self-insure.
Yes, nobody wants to self-insure. But Matt, we also have, we always follow the Oakland tip with a tip of our own.
Our tip this week is there was a CBC, basically a town hall or panel last night, actually
right.
just down the street from where we were.
I caught it this morning.
Right. It was Matt Galloway, new host, I think, of CBC's The Current, hosted.
Anna Maria Tremonte was the past host.
Yes.
One of our favorites.
Fan favorite.
I'm the fan.
But anyway, so there was a town hall last night. Andy Yan was on.
Yes.
It was really interesting discussion. I caught about three quarters of it on the way in today. But we're talking about kind of areas of excitement for investing in East Van. And
sure.
Chinatown is adjacent to the ones we speak about. And this kind of is a more holistic discussion around the area. And it's super interesting. And I think it's super important for the city.
Yeah, I caught a part where they asked, is developer a bad word? And, you know, it sounded like it was, if it isn't a bad word, it's becoming a bad word in the area. So it's interesting. We've actually had a past episode where we covered Chinatown and what's going on with development in Chinatown way back. Like that was probably at least 200 episodes ago.
Yeah, that was with all the uproar around the development on the parking lot on Kiefer.
Right next door, and now it's basically
the moratorium now on development in Chinatown, it seems. But yeah, fantastic conversation on The Current, and I think they have a podcast as well.
And Matt, of course, we have to mention our sponsor, RaimiFilms.com. We're huge fans of Raimi, and he is helping us with all of our video production.
Well, this
is
where we're doing
marketing.
We're doing a lot of our podcasting out of the live at the Bento Box, right?
Yes, we are.
He's doing super interesting stuff over there. He's also doing Vancouver Real Estate Live.
He's doing Vancouver Real Estate Live. It was his idea, actually.
It was his idea. He makes us look like movie stars. We have guests once a month.
Yes.
We actually have one coming up.
We do have one coming up. But before that, check out RaimiFilms.com for all your video needs. And we'll just say one thing. This guy's worked with Timbaland.
Timbaland?
Timbaland, yeah, not Timberland. Although I'm tempted. I'm tempted to call him Timberland. And our live event with Mark Ting is coming up really soon.
This is the 19th at 7 p.m. That's a Wednesday. Mark Ting, CBC's financial guru.
Yes, he's also the partner at Foundation Wealth.
He's teaching at SFU now.
Yeah, he's kind of where real estate meets kind of the financial planner, market guy, right?
That's right.
And he loves both.
He loves both. Very bright guy. And then the best thing about Vancouver Real Estate Live, bring your questions. And this, you can bring questions about basically anything because marketing
you can talk stocks, you can talk high risk, low risk.
You'll want to be there. This is a YouTube Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. We got the live event February 19th, 7 p.m.
Yeah, go ahead and set a reminder because then you'll actually get reminded when we are live and you can join us.
Absolutely. But maybe we should cut to our talk with each other about real estate in Vancouver.
See you after the music. Today we're going to be talking about markets that present some upside in 2020 in the city of Vancouver.
In the city of Vancouver. And we actually, taking a step back, the reason we're talking about this is actually we were asked to do a talk at the start of January.
Right.
About where we saw the opportunities. And because we saw real estate in the city of Vancouver primarily, we focused on the city of Vancouver and we focused on three areas that we thought really had some upswing potential and were really exciting. And we thought we'd repurpose it here.
Well, yeah. And we should say, I mean, there's tons of opportunities all in Metro Vancouver. There's great opportunities in BC and the rest of Canada, but not a lot of people are actually focused on the city of Vancouver and looking at the sub areas specifically in Vancouver. So that's part of the reason we wanted to talk about what's going on in Vancouver specifically.
And when we do a talk, right, we try to distill it down to a couple of key takeaways that people can
walk
away from. So we did hubs. So our talk's going to focus on hubs today. We look at three hubs. We look at energy hubs with examples. I'll talk more about that. We look at employment hubs with examples. We talk about that. We look at transportation hubs with examples, and I'll talk about that as well.
For sure.
But let's start with this idea of an energy hub. This is a term that we stole it. We stole this from Morgan Brown, past guest, fan favorite on the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. But it was a term she used, and we've to capture something that we talk about on the podcast all the time and something that is kind of crucial in real estate. It's that feeling an area has, right? Kind of a...
Is it like the vibrancy of an area?
Yeah, a qualitative feeling that's hard to really put into words. Kind of a shifting energy, dynamism, usually where young people are going, where it's exciting to be, it's hip. So that's what we mean by energy hubs. And one of the ways we thought about looking for opportunities was looking for emerging energy hubs.
So just to not to beat a dead horse here, but Scottsdale, Arizona, is that an energy hub?
You know what? I haven't been there because I'm not 75.
Mesa? but Williamsburg, New York, maybe?
Yeah, and that's definitely an energy hub. And I would say even, pushing east from there would be more of an emerging energy hub.
Right.
So you get the
idea,
right?
Just to kind of give the idea.
Okay. So, and if we're talking about energy hubs and emerging energy hubs in the city of Vancouver, as opposed to cities we don't know very well in the United States, maybe we should look at Mount Pleasant.
Right.
Okay. So we wanted to highlight a sale that happened 2 weeks before Christmas in Mount Pleasant at the Independent at Main. That's the new Rise building at Broadway and Main Street. Mount Pleasant is what I would call an energy hub for sure.
Sure.
Right? But is it emerging?
Mount Pleasant, I would say, is like if it's an energy hub, it's like reached its full brightness potentially.
Jim Morrison when he was 26 and a half.
Okay. Maybe not. I think this is, but this is not like, we're not starting the fire in Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant's a fire that's
roaring.
It's
burning bright.
Yeah.
So this is an energy hub that is burning bright. So let's talk about this one sale that happened at the Independent at Main.
Sure.
It actually made headlines at the time. So it was a 15th floor, one bedroom, 630 square feet. Listed for $649,000, so $649,000. They held off on offers till after the weekend.
I wrote an offer.
You wrote an offer on this. You actually spent some time looking at the data, and your impression was?
I was thinking that it was going to sell for probably high 600s, potentially hit 700, but not much more than that. And I do remember speaking to other agents about it who felt the same way. There was a general consensus that the comps were leading to that price point.
Okay. So what happened with this sale specifically? There was 16 offers.
Right.
It sold that night, so subject free. The deal went firm the night in which the offers were presented for $792,000.
So almost $100,000 over what the comps would suggest market value was.
And almost $1,300 a foot.
Yeah.
In Mount Pleasant for a nice building with nice views.
Very nice unit.
But nowhere near what the comps said. And let's take a step back, right? Because we're sitting here in early 2020. I feel like we've, at least you and I, sitting around talking about this all day, every day, have absorbed the idea that December and November and October and September kind of outperformed people's expectations.
Right.
But 2019 was largely a lackluster
start.
And I'd say overall, kind of a surprising finish, but it was a lackluster year.
We turned a corner around July of 2019. And then, December though was a very, very busy month.
Right.
And the last quarter were really, really solid. But prior to that, Not very, but lackluster is a good way to describe
lackluster it. Lackluster 2019. So this sale is surprising in the context of the larger year, but it's not really all that surprising in the context of Mount Pleasant specifically.
Right.
And Adam, you want to break down some sales ratios for December.
So if we just actually look at the city of Vancouver overall, so what I've done here is I've taken condos and townhomes in Mount Pleasant, and I've taken condos and townhomes in all of Vancouver, and I've averaged the sales ratio. So just a reminder for people, sales ratios, anything under about 10, 11% is a buyer's market. Anything over about 20% is a seller's market. Anything in between that is a balanced market. So between about 11 and 19%, call it, is a balanced market. So we are definitely in the Q3 and Q4 of 2019, we were definitely in a seller's market in Vancouver condos to the tune of about 24 to 34% on average right across all areas. Now, if we actually break down Mount Pleasant in contrast to Vancouver, you'll notice that the lowest sales ratio was 48%, so double the lowest.
That's basically one out of every two condos selling at the slowest point
exactly.
In the last half of the year.
Exactly. So double the sales ratio in the rest of Vancouver for condos. And then we hit a peak in October of 75%. So
that's like 2017 numbers. That's like we're raging.
We are. That's a very, very aggressive seller's market. Almost 8 out of 10 homes selling in a given month. So really the point here is even in a lackluster year where we had kind of low entry level sellers markets in a lot of the markets and buyers markets and balanced markets kind of throughout Vancouver, we saw condos and townhomes in Mount Pleasant outperforming to the tune of, 2 to 3 times the sales ratios.
Wildly outperforming the market. So when we bring up Mount Pleasant here, we've already mentioned it's burning bright. We're not saying that Mount Pleasant is an emerging energy hub. We're saying let's look for the next Mount Pleasant, right?
Right.
Let's find the next emerging energy hub. And while there are no sure bets, right, we should say there's no certainty.
We will have a disclaimer at the bottom of the subtext of this video. There's no certainty.
We'll tell you all sorts of things. Don't actually pay attention to any of it. while there are no sure bets, there are clear signals, right? And one of the areas worth considering, and we've talked about it on the podcast for a while now, it's the Hastings Corridor.
Yes. So we love the Hastings Corridor. We, and it kind of in the same light of loving the Kingsway Corridor in the sense that it's ugly and it has a lot of room for improvement.
but okay, it's ugly. It has a lot of room for improvement, but there's some really nice things, right?
Like, of course.
The Hastings Corridor is super close. So proximity to downtown is important. Proximity to other areas, Chinatown, Commercial Drive,
yes,
the Main Street Corridor. You're right in the heart of some of Vancouver's best neighborhoods,
yes,
no doubt about it. And another thing that's been happening in Hastings, along the Hastings Corridor for years, and we've been talking about for years, is some of the biggest players in Vancouver, some of the biggest players in the development industry have been buying up the Hastings corridor, right? Right. The people who own along East Hastings currently, Chip Wilson's holding company owns right. a ton of property over there. Ani,
yes.
you might have heard of them.
Ani and Ani's at Clark and Hastings. They've got they're currently a prime lot.
There's a development application in place. Wall Financial developed Strathcona Village, which right. is which is already built. Solterra's there. Reliance is there.
Lots of big players.
A lot of the big players are betting on this area. So not only are we in a spot that is ripe for improvement,
mm-hmm.
However you want to define that, you have developers and you have proximity to really good neighborhoods.
Yeah, Matt, I love the proximity to really good neighborhoods, and that's a key factor in just figuring out where the next best area is going to be, because it's often it's location compared to other kind of hip up and coming areas, right? I mean, we all remember when Main Street was going crazy. A lot of people were saying, well, clearly Fraser is also going to benefit from the Main Street corridor,
right?
You know, growing at a very quick rate, and it sure did, right? I mean, now Fraser has some of the best restaurants in the city. It has some of the coolest coffee shops. It's got a lot of energy. It is an energy hub.
Well,
right?
And think about when Morgan Brown was on the show to go back when she used the term energy hub. She was actually using or citing the area between Fraser and Knight,
Cedar Cottage,
even east of there as a really exciting energy hub.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know where the energy is
flowing. And
that's
why it took us so long to put this together.
Well, this is it. But I do think, so we obviously, the nice thing about any kind of key indicators for an energy hub, I love that you highlight that developers are buying in this area. I love that we're talking about the immediate proximity to other great communities. But, you know, you also want to follow the creators. And what's happening in the Hastings corridor, specifically close to Strathcona, kind of close to the Hastings and Clark area, is we have a lot of artists, musicians, kind of tastemakers, people with discerning taste, but young people as
it's
well.
Almost the people that would have been in living along Main Street maybe 10 to 15 years ago have
exactly.
all moved over there.
Exactly. Right. And so there's also coffee shops, breweries opening.
What's a coffee shop? Because you had a coffee at, because you live in Strathcona.
So, yeah. And my comment was, it's called the Garden Strathcona.
They didn't even let you in there.
Well, no, it makes matchstick coffee that used to intimidate me feel like a blends. No offense to blends, but really, like, that's how crazy it is. I mean,
some
go
offense for matchstick.
If you want to see the next step of in progression of coffee shops, go hang out at the Garden Strathcona. I mean, really, really hip and kind of funky commercial space moving in. You know, I'm too old because I say funky. There's a great new wine restaurant that's moved in. You've got Strathcona Brewery, the Heatley, some great little restaurants and places that are gaining a lot of momentum.
It's kind of like you go head over there if you want to see what's going to be mainstream in a couple of years.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of like I said, I mean, a lot of it centers on these key indicators like young people kind of being in the area and artist spaces existing, lower priced rent, people kind of willing to kind of take a gamble on an area and do something that's exciting and neat. And obviously, I mean, once the expensive rents hit in certain communities, it's tough to kind of to try stuff, right?
Right.
It's tough to be experimental with restaurants and coffee shops and breweries and that sort of thing. And we have talked about this on the podcast before, but the breweries, microbreweries, are almost having the same effect as the Starbucks effect used
right.
to be, right? You're almost seeing breweries go into an area and instantly that area becomes in higher demand in terms of for developers, but also for people that want to purchase properties and live in the area,
yeah.
build their life in the area.
Think Port Moody. Think now even Lower Lonsdale with the new
sure.
breweries. I mean, it's pretty exciting.
It is. It's very exciting. And then the other point about this area, which is exciting in Strathcona or along the Hastings corridor, is that there's a distinct brand for the neighborhood and also an identity and a history that the community kind of rallies behind, where people start to feel like they're actually part of this long history in this area. Like Strathcona's
there's a uniqueness to it, right?
Yeah, well, Strathcona's a prime one. Like you'll see breweries, Strathcona Brewery, you'll see restaurants that incorporate Strathcona into the name of it. You'll see clothing companies now that are actually tying
into the... Is that because I was going to say, I remember in the early 2000s, the Brooklyn, first of all, there's the Brooklyn Brewery,
right?
And then there's a Brooklyn clothing company that I don't know if it actually exists, but still.
There is a pride. If it's funny when people start taking pride and working their community into their overall identity. I think that's a strong indicator for
I've never heard somebody area. Say they live in Strathcona as much as yourself.
Matt, this is there's like a meme of the guy with the red face like exploding trying to say something. That's somebody that hasn't told you that they live in Strathcona after a minute and a half. There's some deep-rooted pride in some neighborhoods in Vancouver. It's like you in Commercial Drive. So,
Mamma mia, I didn't think you'd bring it up. So what we're saying, though, is I think you've really captured here an assortment of things
right.
happening that make the Hastings Corridor and what's going on there very exciting.
Yes.
Last but not least, I mean, so Strathcona Village is like the prime example that we cite all the time.
Yes.
That's a newer building, a very exciting spot if you're looking at purchasing residential real estate. But down the street, Ani is set to launch a new building,
sure.
a pre-sale. What we've seen over the years is as those pre-sales launch, there's a hype machine.
Yes.
Right? There's a hype machine that builds in marketing and advertising for a neighborhood
right.
that lasts for years. Generally, it raises the price per square foot. Generally, it increases density, increases walkability, brings in more commercial space. I mean, all of those things that are happening all point in the right direction.
Yeah, and one thing I just want to highlight is buying in an area that's transforming too. Like it has that master plan community effect of the next project will typically be more expensive than the previous project. I guess the flip side of that argument is until it's not. But the reality is that with the building costs in Vancouver and the land costs, typically, developers, in order to move forward with the project, they have to project numbers that are typically higher than the previous sales in the area. And so, when you look at like something like Strathcona Village, where we were seeing some recent sales in the low to mid 800s a foot compared to the rest of Vancouver for newer product, it's hard to imagine that any new developments in the area are going to be able to match that price per square foot.
They'll have to sell for more. I mean, even
you would think that they'll be selling for over $1,000 a foot.
Other wood frame pre-sales are selling for more than that.
Yeah.
In locations not as
well. This is it. So you would imagine that all boats will rise with the tide. So it has that going for it as well.
Hastings Corridor, emerging energy hubs. Let's move on to the second hub that we talked about in our talk here, and that's employment hubs.
Right.
Okay. So when we talk about employment hubs here in Vancouver, where are we talking about? One thing that this actually happened since we did this talk a month ago is Shopify just announced they're taking over a large space in Bentall 4.
Right.
So right on Dunsmuir there, over 1,000 high-tech well-paid jobs coming to downtown. What we highlighted was, of course, Amazon taking over the old post office on West Georgia. 7,000 new employees, highly educated, young, urban, people that want to walk to work, make a decent money for rent, and they're often not from Vancouver.
Yeah, so they want to rent to Vancouver.
They're renting initially and then looking to buy, but often want to stay in an area where they don't have to commute long term.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're talking about Amazon, Shopify. What that means, I mean, downtown, we like downtown, right?
Vancouver is always kind of does well. Even in softer markets, downtown seems to kind of keep pushing through. There's always strong demand for people that want to live downtown Vancouver. But the northeast quadrant of downtown is really exciting for Amazon as well. Like you said, 7,000 new employees coming to the area, and then with Shopify, that's around 1,000?
Yeah, so that's 8,000.
8,000 people coming to the area, and again, these people generally will want to live downtown. They're going to be young. They're going to be tech people. There's going to be a lot of millennials, and yeah, they're going to want to walk to work. They're going to probably want that urban lifestyle. So I think that's a really, really good thing for Northeast downtown.
So Northeast downtown, we're talking about Crosstown.
Crosstown, exciting area. Crosstown. So if you don't, you're not familiar with Crosstown, think of Tinseltown, Abbott and Kiefer. Kind of is the intersection right by the Chinatown SkyTrain station.
Yeah, if you get off the SkyTrain and go down those stairs, you'll enter into Crosstown. But also the Spectrum Towers.
Spectrum Towers, which we've often referred to as IKEA condos. Those are they're actually location wise though they're really well situated with Amazon.
Nice investor grade product.
There are some great buildings in that area, I think, that stand to benefit, like the Henderson buildings, of course, over in Crosstown, Spectrum buildings, which are Concord Pacific. But you're going to see that whole northeast region, I think, benefit from the spinoff of Amazon for sure.
And you know what, Crosstown specifically, there's still some pretty attractive price points there.
Well, and this ties us into our second employment hub that actually benefits, again, the northeast corner of the downtown area, and actually the east quadrant of downtown altogether, because we've got St. Paul's Hospital in Falls Creek coming. So this is going to take the area from 8,000 jobs to 30,000 jobs over the next 30 years. And as we all know, and we've talked about this on the show before, but hospitals develop their own ecosystem. They need they need services, and they need it's basically like universities, right? Where all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of different commercial spaces and services that cater to the people that, you know, work at the hospitals or service the hospitals in the healthcare sector.
You don't introduce 30,000 people into an area without seeing massive transformation.
Right, exactly. And this also ties in with the Northeast Falls Creek plan. Obviously, the viaducts are going to be coming down. This is going to open up a lot of park space. And this is the most expensive city infrastructure project that they've actually ever taken on. So there's going to be an elevated park that is actually designed by the person who did, the New York park, the Linear Park. I always forget the name of it, but there's really, really, really talented people involved in this project. And what it really does, though, more than anything, is with the viaducts coming down, it makes all those areas in the north and east surrounding communities of downtown waterfront now.
Yeah.
Because it allows, like, you can see how the viaducts are actually divisive in the sense that they keep areas like Strathcona and the Hastings Corridor from the waterfront. And so when they come down, you can see on the right now with all the park space, it just kind of opens up that community to Falls Creek.
That's right. So you can see here, we're talking Crosstown into Chinatown, where the hospital is going to be basically at
To the right of Science World there, you can see there's a parkade at the lower point of
Just north of the train station, right?
Exactly.
But then we're also seeing, I mean, the Emily Carr campus. There's a lot going on in this area and just nearby that feeds into this. But when we're talking about employment hubs, I think that northeast side of downtown and crawling into East Van, sprawling sprawling into East Van, almost to the point where it connects the Hastings Corridor, yeah. The emerging energy hub, right?
Yeah.
So wait, we got one more.
You do have to crawl before you sprawl.
That's what they say.
Yeah, yeah.
But without further ado, maybe we should move to the third hub, which is the transportation hub.
Yeah.
In Vancouver. So, and by that, I mean focus on transportation hubs. So we've been talking about transportation hubs, I would say, coming on a decade now, where, you know, people move from location, location, location to SkyTrain, SkyTrain, SkyTrain.
Right.
But I don't think the hype's finished here transportation hubs. I mean, there's three big shifts happening that we're undergoing that we've talked a lot about on the podcast, right? First of all, in the next 30 years, there's 1 million newcomers set to arrive in Vancouver.
Where are they all going to go?
Right. Second, there's an affordability issue that we've had for years. I don't think it's getting much better, but it's pushing people out.
Right.
I just saw actually a study, it came out this morning actually, where they said the headline was Vancouverites will pay more than anyone else in Canada for walkable neighborhoods.
Right.
So people, you know, affordability is a challenge, but as you're pushed out, people are wanting to be close to transportation, close to walkable areas that surround SkyTrains. And third, a generational and cultural and technological shift that we're undergoing right now.
Away from cars.
Away from cars, yes. Right? This is away from cars and towards multimodal transportation. We had Kevin Desmond, the CEO of TransLink, on the show not long ago. If you're interested in this, that's obviously the podcast to check out. But all three of these kind of huge shifts over the next 15, 20, 30 years means bet on transportation hubs.
Absolutely, Matt. And we'll put up some of these stats here, which I'm sure Secret has already done. But we've got 53% of trips in Vancouver are made by walking, rolling, cycling, or transit. We've seen a huge increase, almost up to 30% of walking trips around the city. You can see that obviously transit ridership is up 20%, and 360,000 is the highest number of cycling trips on record, which happened in 2018.
I feel like Kevin Desmond said it on the podcast, and this might not be a direct quote, but he said, hey, if you build it, they will come, and Vancouver's proof of that. You build the transit, ridership has grown, and we've seen huge increases, right? You can talk about any SkyTrain station, and you've seen price appreciation, you've seen rent appreciation.
Right.
But especially, and we like to think in long term, we take a long-term approach here at the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast, but I don't think those opportunities are done for the reasons we just outlined.
No, for sure, Matt. And then the other thing that we wanted to talk about in terms of transportation is obviously the Broadway subway line, which is one of the most exciting infrastructure projects that we have coming to the city. It also ties in with our employment, because this is a massive employer for years to come. People working in the region, working on the Broadway line.
We're just as an exciting point here. We're releasing Vancouver's chief planner, Gil Kelly. We did a talk with him, and what he said about the Broadway subway project was, from UBC all the way out to SFU, focusing on Broadway as economic pearls, right, is what he said, which was a really fantastic way of thinking about it.
Well, we've got the rendition here of where the Broadway subway project's going to be going. Obviously, it's going to be starting at Commercial Drive, the Commercial Platform Station, which we're really excited about. Grandview Woodlands. There's developers like Westbank who own parcels in the area that are going to be redeveloping the area. The Commercial Drive area, Grandview area, already has a really good vibe. It's what we would classify as a burning bright energy hub already. But you can see how adding a SkyTrain to
the
but you can see how adding a SkyTrain station that runs east-west is going to benefit that community as well. And then we have these...
Or west, you mean?
Or running, yeah. Well, the SkyTrain runs east and west.
Right. But yeah, no, but I guess my point was it runs east.
It's just running west. But anyways, it's going to run west out to Arbutus. Eventually, we're going to see this line probably go to UBC, I would imagine.
I think so, yeah.
So this is a very exciting court. And just to note, a shout out to Fairview Slopes. Kevin Desmond, CEO of TransLink, actually his favorite stop was the Broadway City Hall stop. And partly because it's the actual true connector line. It's going to be able to run east-west and also north-south just from that one stop. So, I mean, if you live at Cambie and Broadway or in and around that immediate area, wow, is that going to be convenient to walk down to that one SkyTrain station and go almost anywhere in the city of Vancouver. So Fairview Slopes, which is obviously... surrounds the Cambie corridor, there is an exciting one, as is the Main Street and along Great Northern Way, where we kind of highlighted Emily Carr in the hospital, is kind of going to benefit that region as well. But buildings like, you know, Canvas,
right beside Emily Carr,
are really going to benefit from obviously the SkyTrain, but obviously some of those other hubs that we talked about, kind of putting pressure on the area for redevelopment.
Absolutely. So let's maybe we should go through the three hubs we talked about. So we talked about energy hubs.
Yes.
Hastings Corridor was the highlight. We talked about employment hubs. The highlight was almost northeast downtown through Crosstown to Chinatown.
Yeah,
and almost and connecting to the Hastings Corridor.
Yeah, so thinking about Amazon and Shopify are the two big employers there, and then the third is obviously St. Paul's Hospital.
Right.
Which how can you forget?
I almost forgot it.
How can you forget a state of the art hospital coming to a community? It's going to just transform that area.
And last but not least, we just talked about transportation hubs, specifically focusing on the city of Vancouver. But obviously, that's a regional, that can be applied region-wide.
Yes.
So it
will kind of benefit a lot of the areas that we kind of highlighted on. And honorable mention to the False Creek Community Plan and the removal of the viaducts, which again is kind of putting a lot of pressure. I mean, if I was gonna tell somebody where to invest in the city of Vancouver, it's hard not to look at kind of that northeast kind of False Creek area or along the Hastings Corridor there, where there's huge opportunity. And I think your connectedness to the water, the seawall, and the city, or downtown area, and the city in general is just going to improve over time.
Yeah, and last but not least, I know you live a block off, and I drive. I'm an aspiring transit rider who drives every day, but
yes.
I drive down Pryor. They've traffic calmed it. 30 kilometers an hour, and you're allowed to park in one of the lanes at
I'm
all
walking
times.
Faster
it
than the vehicles on Pryor.
But yeah. Hey, this is if you're looking for signs of change coming very quickly, there's no better
yes.
than to look at Pryor, where I'm going to have to start taking the bus. This is it's too much.
The bus can only go 32.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion about three exciting up-and-coming hubs in the city of Vancouver.
Yeah, Matt, and we should say we were just focused on the city of Vancouver. We are super excited about all those areas, and it is kind of a one region in general, but really up-and-coming, and man, exciting things for our city. And we're fresh off last week's conversation with Chief Planner.
That was one of the best.
Gil Kelly?
I
love that interview.
Yeah, that was...
I agree. And we got a lot of people reached out to us saying how good it is. So if you didn't actually hear that interview, go back and listen to that one. Because if you're not excited about Vancouver after listening to that interview, you don't have a pulse.
That's right. But what else do we have before we go, Adam? We got Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.com. That's our website where we have all sorts of things going on. We do help people sell real estate. We do help people buy real estate. And we have resources over there like the Livewire. This is our weekly newsletter where we're sending out stats before anyone else.
Yes.
Stats that are hard to come by, actually.
Sure.
We're sending out assignment deals. We're sending out pre-sale deals. We're sending out deal of the month. There's no reason you don't want to be on this list. We also got that research tool, Private Client Services.
Yes, we do. And before I get to PCS, Matt, I just got to say, we're also sending out deals like Langford. Langford is back for under $300,000. They've got great, great revenue properties.
$300,000.
Yes, under $300,000. And really, like the best way to describe Langford is it's the Surrey of Victoria.
The Surrey of Victoria. We had a lot of people interested in Langford. When was that? The first tower? 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
This tower is actually, it's actually a pre-sale, but it's completing very soon. They've already rented out most of the
units.
Already
got tenants.
Yeah. So
it's turnkey as it gets.
And they have a rental program. This is a no-brainer. So definitely get in touch if you want to find out more about that. If you want to talk about that or anything else real estate related, give me a call at 778-847-2854 or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And also check out Private Client Services because if you're not using PCS, you're standing still
God.
While the rest of us power walk
by. Did we miss PCS?
We did. We absolutely missed PCS. But you do get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor-level information. It's free at your fingertips. It's on our website, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Sign up for your own account today. We've tried them all. It's amazing.
It's amazing. We also got that secret line.
Info at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Thank you. He's almost our Bong Joon-ho of the podcast.
Ah, yeah.
Did you call him that?
Like the...
Not because he's a parasite. But more so because he's... we're fresh off the Oscars here.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
I was thinking he was a joker who went plant-based.
Yeah, exactly. But we know he's not plant-based.
Have a good week.
2,000 Faces for Radio.
Subscribe today.